We know him. We know him. Amen. Certainly we thank God for his mercy and grace and all that he's done. We are into what we call the celebration of Thanksgiving. And it is a special time in our lives that we specifically worship and praise God. Now, Thanksgiving ought not to be a day. It ought to be a way of life. It ought to be the attitude of God's saints, because the Lord has been good to each one of us. As a matter of fact, the reason why we come together every Sunday is that we can not only give thanks, but to praise God. Praise God, amen? Because of his mercy and because of his love. I'm going to ask that you turn to one verse of Scripture. Matter of fact, you don't even need to stand for this one. You can if you desire. But 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse number 18. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 18. It says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Before you take your seats, or while I'm going get ready to pray, look at someone and ask them, are you thankful? Look at someone else and ask them, are you thankful? Amen. You may be seated. Lord, we thank you and we praise you. We ask that you'd bless now your word. Help us to proclaim it through the power of the Holy Spirit, to not lean to our own understanding, but to certainly speak forth your truth with the ultimate goal that someone's life will be touched, someone's attitude will be changed, someone's heart will be moved, and they would accept you as Lord and Savior. We thank you for this day, and we thank you for the power of your preached word. In Jesus' precious name, amen and amen. Let me first of all say that this is an impossible verse if you are depending on the human spirit. If you are depending on the might of man, there is no way that you nor I can give God thanks for everything and in everything. This has to be the working of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And with that in mind, we want to tell you that sometimes it is difficult. As a matter of fact, it is impossible. We don't want to give God thanks because of some of the things that we find ourselves in. Let me dig into the scripture and try to find out what Paul, the writer, was talking about. Why is he admonishing us to give God thanks in everything? Why is he doing that? He has a specific reason, because when you give God praise, something happens within you. Something transformational happens in your spirit and in your life, that now you're not looking at life as if it's impossible, but you're saying all things are possible through God. Praise is very powerful. Thanksgiving is very powerful. It is a wonderful thing that happens in your life when we lift up our voice, whether we're on the mountaintop or whether we're in the deepest valley. When you lift up your voice and say, God, I thank you, you are proclaiming something. You are saying that regardless of the circumstance, God is almighty and he's all powerful. You're saying something when you give thanks. I notice that when I watch a sports event, when I watch the people on the team, football, basketball, I watch them. And while you have two opposing teams, you have the people in the stands that they are only rooting for one. It's strange when you have someone in the stands And let's say Virginia Tech, they run the football and they get a touchdown. And you got a person stands up, he's rooting for Virginia Tech. But then if you're a UVA fan and you're playing against Virginia Tech, if that same person gets up and he's rooting for Virginia or UVA, you say, man, that's weird. Why in the world would you want to root for both teams? You pick one. When you're in the valley of circumstance, when you're in that challenge of your life, you can't root for the problem and root for God at the same time. You can't be a cheerleader for Jesus and a cheerleader for trouble at the same time. You can't thank your problem and thank God at the same time. As for me and my house, as Mrs. Newby said, as for me, I'm going to give thanks to God. Let me tell you why. He may not have solved it already. He may not have ended the problem already, but he's going to do it. He's going to accomplish his perfect will, not sometimes, but all the time. Is God good? Is he good? How is he good? He's good all the time. That's why we give God thanks. That's why we recognize him. That's why we say he's the sovereign Lord. Let's dig in. Let's look at what Paul was talking about in this letter to the Thessalonians. He's writing this from Corinth, and Corinth is having problems. They had problems in their church. And I noticed that a lot of times people want to find that perfect church. I wish I could find one. Every church needs the Word of God. Every church needs the Spirit of God. Every church needs for people to come together and pray to God and give God thanks. The purpose of the church is that we would grow together and that we would learn more about our relationship with Jesus Christ, working through our trials and working through the different storms and situations that we face. That's why we worship. That's why we thank God. So he's writing to the Thessalonians, and he's encouraging them. He is telling them, listen, you're doing a great job. Keep on doing what you're doing, and keep on admonishing one another. He looks at them and their service to God. He recognizes a couple of things that they are doing, but he also encourages them, here's some things that you might want to work on. There's no such thing as a perfect saint. We're all learning in this thing, amen? I'm learning. Every time I open up the book, I'm learning. So in chapter 1, he encourages them, verse 6, he says, now you have reached out through your testimony and through your witness, even though you were going through much affliction, the joy of the Spirit is in you. He tells them, your thankfulness has inspired the followers in Macedonia and Achaia. You're reaching out to the world, and your testimony is genuine. Genuine. You can have church, but you can also play church. You can get up and put on a performance, or you can be real and touch someone's heart. When you come with that heart of thanksgiving, you're saying, God, I want to be real. I haven't been everything I should be, haven't done everything I ought to do, but thank God I'm still here. God has kept you through all of these storms. And Paul is encouraging the church. He's telling them, you have started well your race for Christ. And then in chapter 2, he also tells them, for this cause also we thank God without ceasing, verse 13, because when you receive the word of God, listen to this, when you receive the word of God that you heard from us, you didn't receive it as the word of men. But you received it indeed as the word of the Lord. This was a powerful church. They were like the Berean church that every time they heard the word, they would search the scripture. That's why I encourage people, bring your Bible to church. Don't just listen to what I say. Read it in your Bible so that when you want the same power and inspiration, all you got to do is open up your word and say, God, I thank you for your word. They received it as the word of God. Listen, around here, we don't preach, amen, from the magazine. We don't preach from what's online. We preach this book. The only thing that's going to set you free is the word of Almighty God. I'm so thankful for the word. So thankful for it. And these in Thessalonica, they believed in the power of God's word. Ladies and gentlemen, believe in the power of God's word. Don't just believe in the stuff that you see from day to day. That's going to bring you worry. It's going to break your spirit. It's going to cause you to be bitter. I notice that every time something goes on in my life, I either get cynical or I get silent. Neither one is good. Somebody said, how are you doing today? I go, yeah, right. You know, that's cynical. Or either I don't say anything, hang my head down as if I'm defeated. But let me tell you something. Jesus said, you are not defeated because he's conquered the world. The Thessalonian church, Paul was saying, I thank God for you. I praise God for you and this race. What you're doing has been heard of the world over, and your praise and your belief in God's word. But not only does he notice that, also in chapter 3, he tells them, you partners with us. Our labors have become your labor. Now you're working on the same thing we're working on. We're trying to advance God's kingdom. You are also supporting that. You're believers in the work of God. Ladies and gentlemen, this work ain't just about Crossroad. It's about Jesus' work worldwide. Amen. We're just doing our little part. We're just doing what we need to do. I notice that sometimes when people want to show that they can, you know, you get these puzzles. You ever seen these 500-piece puzzles? I get the ones 25 or less pieces. And you know, you always, ultimately, if you've got a team effort, you're trying to put the puzzle together, ultimately you're going to have somebody who slides a little piece of the puzzle over here and puts it in their pocket, and everybody else trying to put the puzzle together, and somebody holding out with their little one piece. That happens in the church. Every time you take your talent, and Brother Bolden taught us about the talent, it ain't as small as you think it is. He looked it up, and a talent today would be about $1.2 million. So don't hide your talent, because that's the valuable thing that God has given to you. And when you and I put all of our pieces together, we make up this puzzle of what we call the body of Christ. How about that? So Paul is thanking them. But then before he closes his letter, he said, I want you to do something for me. In everything, give thanks. Not just on the sunny days, but on the rainy days. Not just on the days when everything is going fine, but in the midnight hour. In everything, give thanks. Why in the world would he tell them this if it wasn't possible? I know some of you are shaking your head. Said, preacher, what do you mean by that statement? How are we to give thanks when the world has crumbled around us? How are we going to give thanks when our heart has been broken in two? Notice what he didn't say. He didn't say for everything. Read it. He didn't say for everything. He said in everything. No matter what you're going through, no matter what you're facing, you can look up. You can look up and say, God, I thank you. This is the day. Not the day that I celebrate my trouble. Not the day that I celebrate my pain. This is the day that the Lord has been. I will rejoice and be glad. Tears streaming down your face, but you're still giving God thanks. Problem still going on. Sea is still raging, but you're giving God thanks. Because you know, as my grandma used to say, he may not come. Huh? He may not show up when I want him to. But he's always, can I get a witness in here? Just a few folk that say, he's always on time. Look at somebody, tell him, he's always on time. He's always on time. God will work it out. Now, so Thanksgiving is the thing that we need to do. But I want to give you some foundations for Thanksgiving. So I'm going to go over to the book of John and see if Jesus can teach us some things about thankfulness. Do you believe that if anybody taught it, Jesus would have taught it? Yeah, we believe that Jesus would have taught it. Turn over to John chapter 11. Amazing verses. Let me set the background while you're turning there. John, amen. Not 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, but just John. Just John. We're looking just for John, not 1, 2, 3. We're looking for just John. John's Gospel, chapter 11, verses 41 through 42. Lazarus has died. 4 days later, Jesus shows up on the scene. You get the picture. You know the story. Before he raises Lazarus from the dead, all he had to do was show up, raise him, and then go about his way. But Jesus wanted us to learn something about what it means to face your struggle, to face your problem, and to yet be thankful. Some of you are going into the Thanksgiving season and you're shaking your head and you're asking, what do I have to be thankful for? You're questioning yourself. Why? Because your doubts have showed up. Yeah, Brother Bolden said something else yesterday. He said doubt and faith can't live in the same room. You can't have fear and faith in the same room. You can't have praise and then worry in the same room. If you're going to praise him, amen, just like a roach will disappear when you turn the light on. When your praises go up, the roach of trouble, the roach of trial, a roach of sickness, it'll take a backseat. They praising God. I got to get away from here. Matter of fact, you step on them. They'll have some witnesses. All right, let me get off of roaches on what Jesus said, all right? John 11, verse 41 and 42. Before Jesus raised Lazarus from the grave, he said something that was dynamic. Here's words. Jesus said, I thank you, Father, that you hear me. And I know that you always hear me, but because of the people which are standing by, I said it. Why? That they may believe. Let me give you very quickly three foundations of thanksgiving. First, thanksgiving reveals your confidence that God hears you. Amen. When you got saved, when you gave your life to the Lord, you came into the body of Christ, not just the church. You didn't just shake the preacher's hand, but you said to God, I'm in your body. I'm a part of you now. You are in my life, and I in you. We are one. When Jesus gave thanks, listen to his words. He said, Father, I thank you that you hear me and that you always hear me. Now, wait a minute. Help me out with this. How does God hear us when we pray some weak prayers? Here's what's happening. While you're praying, the Holy Spirit is praying in you. As a matter of fact, the book of Romans says he utters some things that words can't even describe. He's groaning. He's reaching the throne of God. And if that wasn't good enough, at the right hand of God, you got the Son of God, who's also praying for you. I call that overkill. That's a bit much. You know that the Father is going to hear the Holy Ghost, and you absolutely know he's going to hear the Son because the Son is right beside him. So what happens when you pray? The Holy Spirit says, this is what they really mean. And then the Son of God said, Father, give it to him in my name. I tell you what, let's take a shout break on that one. Can we just give God a little bit of praise? A little bit of praise. Your prayer has been heard. He always hears me. That's a foundation. for your thankfulness. You're thankful because he always hears you. So when Paul says in everything give thanks, he's not talking about the problem. He's talking about the one who can solve it. He always hears you. Second foundation, got to move on. The second foundation, notice Jesus, when he talks to the Father, he's like, I know he's there. I come from the Father. I know he's there. So he prays with this confidence that God is God. Here's what we pray. Lord, I got this problem. I don't know whether you can solve it or not. What do you, wait, hold on, time out. That's when the coach needs to call timeout. So wait a minute. What do you mean? God is God. And if God is not God, this world wouldn't be here. Are y'all still listening? And if you doubt that he's God, go out into the midnight sky tonight and look up at that. By the way, the moon is beautiful at night. Go out and look at it. The same one that hung the moon, that put the stars in place, also knows where you are. He's got your address, zip code, everything else, email address. He's got your Facebook. He knows what you're posting and what you ought to be posting. You ought to be saying God is good rather than I wonder if anybody out there know what I'm going. Can I preach up in here? Jesus prayed with this tremendous confidence. He said, Father, I know that you hear me and that you always hear me, but for the sake of those who are around me, that they might believe. Which brings us to the third foundation. Not only are you praying with or giving thanks because it reveals God's confidence that he hears you, not only are you praying because God is God, but you're praying because it builds faith. When you are thankful, you're reflecting on what God has given you. Here's what happens when people have problems in their life. They think about what they don't have or what's missing. But you ought to do an inventory of what you still got. I still got my joy. I still got my faith. I still have the promises of Jesus. I still know that he can make a way out of no way. He may not give me what I want, but I know he's going to give me something. You have that confidence, that blessed assurance that God is the one. He's always faithful. As a matter of fact, I was over in the book of Lamentations. That's a book written by Jeremiah, and he's lamenting over the things that he's experienced. Reverend Gibbons, he's talking about how Israel has now got to go through this tremendous trouble, and he's weeping. He said, my eye just runs down with tears. But then in the third chapter, he flips the thing. He said, were not for the mercy of God, we would have been destroyed. But his mercy is new every morning. Brand new mercy. When you got out of your, can I preach to you? When you got out of your bed, I know you still had yesterday's problem, but guess what else you got? You got brand new mercy for today. God had mercy upon you. He had mercy upon me. And for that reason, we ought to thank him from the bottom of our heart, because he will not fail and he will not lie. God is good, and all the time, God is good. Now, let me just close by putting this thing into context. I'm going to hurry up and go to my seat. I've been up here shouting and carrying on, and y'all saying, well, what in the world's got in him? I ate some oatmeal yesterday. Now, I'll take it back. I ate some grits yesterday, and they're still with me today. Hallelujah. Thank God for grits. Amen. Look at back at 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 16 through 12. He's going to give the believers that Thessalonica, seven admonitions. I'm giving them to you today because that's why Paul wrote them. He didn't just write them for the church in Thessalonica. He wrote them to you and me. Before you sit down at your banquet table and you're looking at all the wonderful turkey and everything, I'm vegetarian, by the way. I don't eat turkeys anymore. I don't discourage you from eating turkeys, but I'm done with turkeys. I'm done. Yeah, me and turkeys had a falling out. And we ain't been reconciled yet. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, look at verse 16. If you thought giving him thanks in everything was tough, he says, rejoice evermore. Always have joy. Look at somebody and say, always have joy. Pray without ceasing. The next verse. Look at somebody else. Tell them, always pray. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Look at somebody. Tell them, always give thanks. Don't quench the spirit. Always be spirit-led. How do you quench the spirit? Imagine a candle that's lit, and all of a sudden it's snuffed out. You can't snuff out the Holy Spirit, but you can extinguish its fire in you. You can't blow out the power of the Holy Spirit, but you can blow out your own flame. Are y'all still in the building? Every time you talk about your problem, it's like pouring water on the fire in your spirit. You're creating doubt. But when you start thanking God, all of a sudden now you're allowing the Spirit to have his way through you and you're getting a better understanding of the Word. God puts you in the problem so you would learn how to work your way out of it. I wish I could talk to somebody. He allowed those things to happen so that you might be yielded to the Spirit. Do not quench the Spirit. Over in Ephesians, we learn another verse. It tells us don't grieve the Holy Spirit. Whether you're grieving or quenching the Spirit, you need to always be Spirit-led. Now, the next one, just encourage folk to either pull up the message online or listen to somebody's message. It says, despise not prophesying. You may not love the preacher, but you ought to love the preaching. Y'all missed that. Say it with me, always. Love the preaching. Even though you don't like the preacher. That's all right. Amen. Despise not prophesying. He goes on to say, prove all things. Hold fast to that which is good. Always test for the best. Don't be bamboozled by life. Don't be tripping over the first thing that you hear. Because you may not have heard what you thought you heard. Are y'all still in the building? That's another sermon for another time. Because people say, well, you know, I heard you say, wait a minute. You heard me say something, but you may not have heard me say what you interpreted. That's another sermon. I got to get with that one. Matter of fact, I got to preach it to my wife. I got to preach to her. Oh, Lord, how'd I get myself in trouble now? Help me, Miss Maddie. Then it says, always test for the best, then abstain from all appearance of evil. All appearance of evil. Always do the right thing. I tell you, if you don't grieve the Spirit, if you don't quench the Spirit, you will always be led in the right direction. So Paul is really telling the church at Thessalonica and the church in Evington, the church of Crossroads, he's telling you, you got to keep on doing this thing. And the way that you stir up your spirit and your life is through thankfulness. Instead of allowing conditions and circumstances to come in and dominate your mind, trouble to come in and keep you from praising God, let the Spirit's fire roar within you. Let the Spirit's fire rekindle your faith and to help you to be even more thankful. I close with this. Is the Apostle Paul telling people to do something that he hadn't done himself? That's a good question. Is he asking us, are you thankful, and yet he has not expressed some kind of gratitude or thankfulness? And I found out from the Word that Paul is really telling you what he learned himself. This thankful life, this way of thanksgiving, is really the way that you go through the ups and downs and the turns of this evil world in which you're living in. Acts chapter 27 tells us about Paul as he found himself in the middle of the sea on his way to be tried at Rome, and yet he has a thankful heart. As they set out to sail, Paul tried to tell them, wait a minute, it's not time for us to sail. We need to be still. The ship owners decided we're going to go ahead anyway. And they ran into the storm called the Euroclydon. Huge storm that came upon the sea in which they were in. Boat was swamped with waves and wind. And here's Paul in the midst of this. Many of them were tormented. Many of them were crying out for fear, except one man. 275 other people are panicking, saying, what shall we do? Here's Paul saying to them in verse 35 and verse 36 of Acts 27. And when he had spoken, what did he speak? He told them, calm down, everybody. Calm down. We're not going to die. We're going to make it. And then after that, he said, he took the bread, notice, and gave thanks to God in the presence of them all. And when he had broken it, he began to eat. Then were they all, look at that verse, filled with good cheer. I watched as folks in the old church would give God thanks. And then when one would give God thanks, another one would start saying, well, I got something to give God thanks for. And then another one would stand up and say, wait a minute, I got something to give God thanks for. He didn't do everything I wanted and everything I needed, but thank God he did everything that God had willed. Next thing you know, the whole church would be on fire. Whole church would be praising God. When Paul started giving thanks on that boat in the middle of the storm, it said that the other soldiers, the other prisoners, took cheer. They were glad. Church, if you shut down on your thankfulness, who else is going to give God praise in the middle of this pandemic? Who else is going to thank him? Folks are looking at you and they're saying, well, I know what you've been through, but you ought to surprise them. You ought to pull what they call a surprise attack, and you ought to tell them, but I'm still thanking God. Been through sickness, had family members that died on me, but I'm still thanking God. Had my ups and downs, got fired from my job, got laid off, but I'm still thanking God. When you look to God, you can always find a reason to be thankful. What's that reason? God is good. He's just good, amen? And his mercy endures forever. God bless you. Stand on your feet as we prepare to close. Amen. What an awesome God. What an awesome God. So when you settle down for Thanksgiving dinner, think about how good he's been. Despite your trouble, despite your problem, God is faithful. Father, thank you again for your amazing love. Thank you for your amazing grace. Question before us today is, are we thankful? And we can answer back with an affirmative, yes, but it's only through the power of your Spirit. We don't ever want to quench or grieve your Spirit. We want to always be on fire. Maybe that fire can light someone else. Maybe the fire here at Crossroad today, the fire of your word has been lit in someone's heart. Someone who may be thinking that this is my last day. You don't know that. And you certainly don't have any authority over your life to take it. But you can look up. I know you're in a desperate time, but you can look up and say, God, I thank you. And when you do that, you will surrender to the greatest power that will ever love you in this universe. And that's the power of God. Whoever's listening at this time, just ask Jesus to have his way. Just ask Jesus to bring his healing and to bring his comfort into your soul. And he certainly will do it. If you want to follow up with us or maybe some other church and say, hey, I need to get back in the church, please do that. You can always come to us here at Crossroad or either contact us online, crossroadbc.com. We would love to help you out. Whoever you are, don't delay another moment without Jesus. Thank you, Father, for blessing us now. Thank you for blessing our church. May we always celebrate your grace. In Jesus' name, amen.